seem to be just tripping over myself left and right today. But that's all right, because it can keep me humble. And that's one thing that we need to keep in mind, that we need to be humble. We are not to be going out seeking honor for ourselves. We are to be actually giving respect and honor to others. It wasn't too long ago that I witnessed a judge getting outraged, ready to throw his gavel at this individual that was before him, because the individual was not giving the judge honor, but was rather backbiting talking out in front of the judge, being very arrogant, very proud, and very rebellious, things that Yahweh is certainly against. Well, the judge had to apologize because of the extreme reaction that he had. And one thing that he said in his apology was, he has just not seen this type of arrogance in people coming before him before. He's been a judge for some 40-odd years, and he said that basically, the respect, the honor, the things that should be today are being more and more out the door. That they're not as it should be, as it was. And so things are getting worse, is basically what he's expressing. And it's interesting that he reacted in the way that he did to this individual's actions. And it just kind of reminds me of the scripture that talks about love waxing cold. People are getting tired of some of the things that are going on out there. And even we see right now riots over in Europe. There was a company executive that was held hostage by employees because they felt that they were not being respected, not being treated properly. And so they took it into their own hands to get justice, and we're not to do that either. Yahweh says, vengeance is mine. That's what he says, so we need to give that up to him. But we do need to be worried about what we do and how we think, how we react to certain people. It seems like honor today is being given to, like with the youth, video games. People are gathering to themselves material things, electronics. Who has the latest gadget, the thing that's available that will make us happy? It's a very material world. I was looking in the dictionary, speaking of the topic of honor today, and I was surprised, because I normally look in the dictionary for certain words, but this one really stood out, because there's a whole page of defining honor. One of the things that also stood out is the very first thing is a good name. A good name. Now, we're to honor Yahweh. We are to give him glory and honor. Well, I think we can do that by praising his name, by expounding upon his name, by sharing his name. It gives him esteem. And all glory and honor ultimately goes to Yahweh. There are those that might say, well, we're to worship Yahshua, not just Yahweh. Well, even Yahshua said, look, why do you call me good? There's no one good but one, the Father in heaven. So we are to follow in Yahshua's example, and his example was to worship Yahweh. But in the defining of honor, it talks about merited respect, recognition, talks about one whose worth brings respect or fame. It talks about to regard or treat with respect. And again, there seems to be less respect, less preference being given to others. Rather, instead of giving, it's a get type of society that we are finding ourselves in. But let's go over to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And verse 58. What does Yahweh say? If you are not careful to observe all the words of this law which are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, whose has an honored and awesome name? Yahweh, your Elohim, it says. Verse 59, then Yahweh will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues and miserable and chronic diseases. Ooh, that Old Testament deity. Ooh, you know. Well, Yahweh, we know, doesn't change, and blessings and curses still stand today. And so many are not giving honor to Yahweh. They're not considering his name. In fact, we have a book here that basically his name has been taken out of. That's not right. Let's go over to Romans 9, verse 17. New Testament. And in the New Testament, what they had was the Old Testament, so they quoted out of it quite often. Romans 9 and verse 17. For the Scriptures say to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. Romans 9, verse 17. So we find this, that Yahweh's name is important. We go back to Exodus 14 and verse 4, and we find this to be true. Exodus 14 and verse 4 says, thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am Yahweh. And they did so. So who is our mighty one? Well, his name is Yahweh. And we're to glorify him, and we're to give him honor by using his name and sharing it with others. But Yahweh is merciful and loving, and will receive honor if the right things are done. And that's the key. We need to do certain things. We are required to obey his law and to do his will. In Luke chapter 14, we find this expounded upon, a basic principle that if we take a lower position, that we'll be given a higher position. And the principle here is being humble. Luke 14 and verse 10. But when you are invited, go and recline at the first table or first place, that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. So the basic principle exists here. It says in verse 11, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And ultimately, this is coming, I think, in the future. We are not to be seeking honor here and now. We are not to even be seeking in the future. But we know that there are rewards for those that do Yahweh's will and that are pleasing to him, that love him. And we know that Yahweh says again and again that basically he will honor those that honor him, honor his name. And as we read, his honor is defined. It's a good name. See, 1 Samuel, let's go back to 1 Samuel. There's a time here where they're worshiping at Shiloh. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. Samuel is spoken to here, the last judge of Israel. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. Towards the end there it says, those who honor me, I will honor. And Samuel is being talked to here about this. And he's supposed to tell the others. It's interesting, I was looking through this, and Samuel was the people wanted a king because Samuel's sons in particular weren't doing very well. They were corrupt, they were taking bribes, they were doing these sort of things. When you look at others, you find the same thing, even with Aaron's sons. A couple of them were killed. You have Eli's sons, same thing. you have a couple that they ended up dying because they did wrong in Yahweh's sight. They weren't honored, rather they were punished. And we have to keep this in mind. We have to honor Yahweh. We have to do what He says, and we have to follow His lead. What would have happened, during the Exodus if the people split off and went their own way, not following after the cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night? They would have ended up dying a lot sooner than they did. But they ended up dying, those over the age of 20, because they tested Yahweh and they rebelled against Yahweh. They didn't do what He said. They did just the opposite. They did what they wanted to do, and it was a problem. So what happens when wrong things are done? Well, Moses even, though he's a humble man, lost the privilege to walk into the promised land. Why? Because he disobeyed Yahweh, and he did it in front of all of Israel, which just doubled the impact of the sin. It was disrespectful to Yahweh, and it didn't show Israel how to behave before Yahweh. So it was a problem. King David lost honor when he sinned, when he committed adultery, when he committed murder. He lost respect. He lost respect of the people. He lost his whole world, sort of fell apart in the sense that even the sword as punishment never left his household. So a lot of problems entered because of the sin. King Solomon started out good, but ended up bad. He ended up breaking Deuteronomy 17 and verse 17, which talks about not accumulating horses and wives and these type of things, and that's exactly what happened. When he built Yahweh's house, what did he do for his own? He spent twice the time on his own, and his priorities just didn't seem to be right. He honored his wives more than he honored Yahweh by allowing them to worship false deities and raising up high places for them, even to Molech, which was a deity in which people burned their children to threw them into the fire. So very, very heinous crimes. And when it does come to honor, we should be asking, or we should not be seeking it, but rather, rather, when it comes to honor, we should not be seeking it, but there are those that do. In Matthew chapter 20, let's go over to Matthew. Chapter 20, we find a mother seeking honor for her children, but these weren't just your ordinary children. These were sons of thunder. Matthew 20 and verse 20. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Joshua with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right foot, or one on your right, and one on your left." But Joshua answered, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" And they said to him, "We are able." So they were confident that they would be able to do whatever they needed to do to be at his right hand and his left. So it was this is James and John here that are making the request as well. When we look at parallel accounts, the mother isn't mentioned, so we find that the sons were definitely asking for these positions. And when you think of these positions, I remember watching, I think it was a Star Trek series or something, and there was Captain Picard, but then there was his number one. And when you're asking to be on the right hand of somebody, basically they understood that was to be asked. They're asking to be number one, and then number two on the left. So they're asking for a number one position, a number two position. They were seeking honor. And, Joshua responded in verse 23. He said, "My cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right hand and my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those to whom it has been prepared for by my Father." And hearing this, the ten became indignant indigent, with the two brothers. They were not very happy. Verse 25 says, "But Yahshua called them to himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to serve, or to give his life as a ransom for many.'" So again, we have this example of Yahshua himself giving up his life, serving, coming to serve, not coming to be ruling over everybody, though ultimately that's what is given to him, rulership. And he's coming back with a rod of iron. But these sons, James and John, I mean, they were there at the vision where they saw Yahshua in his glory, before he had been risen. They saw, along with Peter, Moses and Elijah. So evidently Moses is going to be in the kingdom. Elijah is also going to be there. But this was a vision. It wasn't something that was, right there and then. But we find that even Yahshua pulled Peter and James, and also Peter, that these were very close to Yahshua. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, they were pulled to the side. And, Yahshua had talked with them and was a blessing to them. He evidently loved them and took special note of them. And that may be why they thought that they could have special treatment or have a number one and number two position. Not really sure, but the mother may have seen that and encouraged them to ask. We find that we are instructed actually to serve everyone in this passage. And we find that those seeking honor now will lose their reward in the future. Matthew 6, backing up, those are have really gone off the edge and out to seek their own will, to do their own thing. Matthew 6 and verse 2. "So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full." And of course, the Pharisees were doing their own thing. They were seeking their own will. They wore their tzitzits long so everyone could see them. And they prayed out in the streets so that, again, men could see them. They wanted honor. They wanted to be seated at the best places. They wanted to be given the preference. And they were not honoring Yahweh by doing that. They could have done so much better, but they didn't. King Saul started out really good. King Saul was humble. He said, "Who am I to lead this people? I'm no one." And really, I think Yahweh does call people like that. He calls people that are weak and base, and he does it for a purpose. But it's someone that Yahweh can work with as well, besides the other things. But King Saul ended up wanting honor. When he was found to be guilty of sin, he said, "Well, okay, I've sinned, but please honor me in front of the others over here." He was telling that to Samuel. He ended up going the wrong way. Now, there is the alternative where another individual named Shaul, named Paul, started out kind of bad. He was even, he said of himself, "I'm the worst of all the brethren, really. Chief of sinners, really, in killing all the all those that he could get a hold of that were believers." But he ended up becoming good. But he had to be humbled, and that's exactly what Yahshua did to him. He humbled him, blinded him so that he could see. and he did see. Another individual, Haman, might remember the book of Esther. Haman was wanting to seek honor for himself. He wanted to be paraded around. And so he even gave the king the instructions to do so. He thought, okay, the king is wanting to honor me. I'll tell him exactly how I want to be honored. How ridiculous. Yeah, prance me around in a robe, you know, in the streets. Just silly. But he ended up parading Mordecai, who was humble and who did deserve honor. And, you know, that's the way it worked out. And Haman, what was Haman's ultimate fate? He was killed. So again, pride, sin, trying to gain honor for yourself, it all leads to death, as far as I can see, when it really gets down to it. Let's go over to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18. This is a good book for teenagers. This is a good book for adults as well, but it has a lot of insightful, easy reading tidbits of wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 18 and verse 12. Before instruction, the heart of man is haughty, but humility goes before honor. So before destruction is arrogance, basically, pride. Over in Proverbs 29, in verse 23, a man's pride will bring him low. How low? I suppose it depends on how great the pride is. But it says a humble spirit will obtain honor. And I think this is pretty consistent throughout Yahweh's word that this is the case. And we are to honor others that are worthy of honor. If you'd go over to Philippians, the book of Philippians in the New Testament, Philippians 2 and verse 19. Who should be respected? Who should be honored? Who is worthy of honor? Well, we ultimately know Yahweh is worthy of the honor. But here in Philippians 2, starting in verse 19 through 30, read, "But I hope in the Master Yahshua to send Timothy to you." This is Paul speaking. "He hopes to send Timothy to you in a short time, so that I may also be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare, for they all seek after their own interests, not those of Messiah Yahshua, not following in his footsteps, not doing as he did, following Yahweh's instructions." Verse 22. "But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the evangel, like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as I know how things go with me. And I trust in the Master that I myself will also be coming shortly. But I thought it necessary to send you," here's one of those big words again, "Epaphroditus, brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but Yahweh had mercy on him, and not only him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him, then, in the Master with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Messiah, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me." So we're given instruction on who should be really respected. Those putting forth the effort to do the work. And this is not talking about an elder. This is not talking about a deacon even. It's talking about just a brother who is trying to help the best he can and who was suffering for the work that was being done. And that's commendable. 1 Thessalonians. Back just a little bit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Master and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. We know that individuals like Ruth were very honorable. They were very humble as well. But Ruth honored Naomi by attaching herself to her in her ways. Naomi was, of course, a servant of Yahweh. Joseph was more honorable than his brothers. Of course, his brothers tried to kill him. So that wouldn't make them very honorable. But Joseph strove to serve Yahweh. And because of that, he was honored. And his blessings abounded because Yahweh was with him. We find in, you know, if you turn there, 1 Chronicles 4:9, though, Jabez was noted and more honorable than his brothers. So there are levels of respect, I suppose, that we could give. But in general, we are to respect everyone, I think within reason. Setting forth a good example as a witness of the life that we profess. James, let's go to the book of James, where we find in James 2, verse 1, this instruction. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Master Yahshua the Messiah with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring, and I happen to notice I'm wearing a gold ring, but this is to honor my wife. I do this because it shows my promise to her. And as a married couple, I think honor goes both ways. Both the wife is to honor, and also the husband is to honor, and to love the wife as the assembly is loved by Yahshua. And that example is given. But here we find that, if someone comes into the assembly, says, for if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, you sat here in a good place, and say to the poor man, here, you stand over here, or sit down by my footstool. What kind of, that's the wrong kind of attitude and the wrong way of, treating, and it's dealing unequally with the brethren, and for a bad reason. Verse 4 says, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? What would be your motive for treating someone especially well who you think may be rich? I mean, what's the motive there, ultimately? But we find that there are other areas that show that we are to honor others. And again, this is moving out away from us, being concerned about others, and also being fair among others as you reach out. 1 Peter and verse 10. I'm sorry, wrong book here. First Peter 2:17 says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear Yahweh, honor the king. And, of course, we have a booklet on that, that honor the president, honor the prime minister, etc. We have those in positions that Yahweh's put there in those positions, and they are to be honored. And speaking of honoring those in authority, let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all righteousness and dignity. We have a new president. We have others in leadership roles in the world, and we should pray for them. We should pray that they'll do the right things so that they may go well with the brethren, that there may be peace, and that there may be maybe those... there are other parts of the world even that are suffering in poverty. I mean, we can pray that those governments will do the right thing so that that the people will be, benefited, that the poor will be helped, because it's a terrible thing. I mean, to be in poverty, as we find today are in poverty, lacking food, lacking water. But we know these things will come, and that Yahshua himself said, "The poor will always be among you." Well, in this life, true, but in the coming, it's going to be ended. And that's the hope that we have. But we find that leaders are to be prayed for. And in Matthew 10, as you can probably tell, I went through a concordance and found all these places where honor is mentioned. There's quite a few, just as a dictionary had quite a bit to say about honor. The concordance... of those times that honor is found in the Bible is pretty tremendous. There are a lot of places talking about honor and honoring and being honorable, these type of things. So it's important. It's an important subject. Matthew 10 and verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. Again, a basic principle. There are those that are in authority, and those that are to be subservient to that authority. Now, some in the past, as today, have not liked authority. You may remember Korah's rebellion against Moses. They didn't like the fact that he was telling them what to do, even though he was telling them what to do based upon Yahweh, what Yahweh was telling him. And there was no reason for it other than the people were getting, some of the people, next to near Korah, were getting anxious and not wanting things the way they were going. But you have Zedekiah's rebellion, you have Jeroboam's rebellion. We've already mentioned Israel's rebellion. Again, we could mention it a number of times, because a number of times they rebelled. And you find in Amos, the book of Amos, that they were punished again and again with the hopes that they would repent. And that they would, get a good understanding that they should be doing what our Heavenly Father wants of them. But it didn't happen. They were eventually divorced, the northern tribes. Well, honor starts at home with our physical and spiritual family, I do think. We find in Matthew 15, just over a couple pages, Matthew 15 and verse 4, for Yahweh said, honor your father and your mother. And he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. What? Well, that's what it says. And we hear a lot about honoring the father and mother, but we don't hear about so much about speaking evil of our parents. But I recall the judge who was disrespected by that individual. I wonder what that individual, how he treated his parents, how he treated his mother, how he treated his father. They're the ones that have given us life, our parents, so we are to respect them, to love them, and not speak evil of them, but to do as they say, and understand that they love us enough to give us instruction, to know that they're doing it for our own good, not for our bad. And this we have to look at our Heavenly Father and how He treats us and what He does for us and what He tells us to. Same kind of principle. He tells us things that are for our own good. Let's go over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 23. So that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And I think this is a basic principle that we would find even today. If you're a father and you have a son, maybe you send him to go do a task, and he's disrespected by others that you've sent him to. I mean, that's not very good. So I think this makes good sense. John 12, verse 26, we find that we are to serve the Master, of course, and then what will happen after that? John 12, and verse 26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So there's this principle that what you do, something will happen with what you do, whether it be good or bad. In this case, it's good. And I remember John the Baptist saying, you know, he needs to become lesser while the Messiah becomes greater. And I think in our own lives this is true, because as the Spirit works within us, as Messiah is within us, we need to humble ourselves more and more and let Him take the lead and not ourselves. So when we are reminded of His Word, we don't reject it, we think about it, and then we move forward in the instruction of that Word. And we know that Yahshua's Word is good because He followed Yahweh's Word. So Yahweh's Word is Yahshua's Word, and vice versa. They were one. In John 17, they tell us, in John 17, the prayer was that of Yahshua speaking to the Father, that we would be one with them. That was His desire. And that happens when we submit to the Spirit that's been given to us, when we submit to Yahshua walking in us, through us. John 12 and verse 26, we read that. Romans 8. Now, sometimes we go through some difficulties and we question why we go through those difficulties, but we know that we are to be building endurance, that there's reasons why the things are the way they are. Romans 8 and verse 16. But there's a benefit to it. Romans 8 and verse 16. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of Elohim. And if children, heirs also, heirs of Elohim, and follow heirs with Messiah, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. And we know that the ultimate outcome of all this is found in Scripture, that we will be blessed as Yahshua will be blessed. And in a sense, He's already been blessed, but He's the first of the first. So we are, in a sense, second in line to come into the kingdom. But He's there now as our high priest at the right hand, number one, the Father. Skipping down to verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over to for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? And so we're given the promise that we will inherit these things if we follow in the footsteps of Messiah, if we submit to the Spirit and submit to the life that we are to live. Ultimately, though, who is in control? Let's go over to Colossians, or who is in authority. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Colossians 1 and verse 18. He is also head of the body, the assembly, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. When we look at 1 Corinthians 11, we do find that the Messiah is over us. The only way we can go to the Father is through him, we're told. And in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul himself says, "Be imitators of me, just as I am also of Messiah." So let's follow in Messiah's footsteps, basically, is what Paul is saying. He's doing it. We're to do as he does. Verse 2, "Now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions, just as I have delivered them to you." I want you to understand that Messiah is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, the wife, and Yahweh is the head of Messiah. And so we have this listed out in plain black and white for us. We're to honor Yahweh in his ways, just as Yahshua did the same. Going back to Isaiah chapter 58, we are to honor certain things. What are the things that we're to honor? We know we're to honor Yahweh. We are to proclaim his name. We're also to honor his Sabbath. In Isaiah 58 and verse 13 says, "If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight," speaking of the seventh day, which we know as today as being Saturday, says the holy day of Yahweh, honorable, and shall honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word, which we, of course, delight in doing at times, regrettably. Sometimes the flesh gets in the way. But we need to, as John the Baptist said, you know, he needs to become less and less as Messiah becomes more and more. We need to allow Messiah to reign in our lives and to give him preeminence. Let him be the head. Let him lead. And not us ourselves. Verse 14, "Then you will take delight in Yahweh, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken." Is Yahweh true? Let Yahweh be true and every man a liar. Hebrews 13, verse 4. Hebrews 13 and verse 4. "Marriage is to be held," speaking again of a family, both physical and spiritual, "marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, Yahweh will judge." In Psalm 34 and verse 3, Psalm 34 and verse 3, we have King David, man after Yahweh's own heart, saying, "Magnify Yahweh with me, and let us exalt his name together." So whether it's a Sabbath, whether it's a marriage that Yahweh approves of, whether it's Yahweh's name, we're to honor these things that will honor him. And by doing so, we honor him, and we also honor and respect the Son for what he has done, because he's given his life for us so that we don't turn back and walk in sin, but walk forward, walking in truth, obeying the Sabbath as he kept and was his tradition, his custom, and doing these other things that are pleasing to the Father. But of all of this, what must we do? I mean, what do we need to do? We need to humble ourselves. Let's go over to Daniel, the book of Daniel. We can't be high-handed with one another. We can't be always seeking our own will. I mean, there's certain times when we can make suggestions, but we can't really demand our own way. That's not what Yahweh has called us to do. He's called us to serve, to be servants, to wash one another's feet. And one thing that we're going to do coming up here shortly is Passover. We're going to do it because it's a part of Yahweh's instructions, but it's also something that Yahshua said, you know, do this in remembrance of me. So we're respecting his requests, and we're remembering him and what he did for us. And we're recalling to mind just how we've been served. And we have been served. We've been given life because someone's life was taken. And the life that was taken, that blood that was shed was undefiled. It was sinless blood. Daniel 4 and verse 37. Here we find another individual who was not humble, who was proud, very arrogant. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. In verse 37, Daniel 4, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, I might add, after eating grass for 7 years, because Yahweh humbled him, you know, I don't want to be in Nebuchadnezzar's shoes. I want to humble myself before anything like this were to happen. But ultimately, afterwards, it says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true, and his ways just. His name, his ways like the Sabbath, marriage, these things are all just. And he is able to humble those who walk in pride. The pride, the arrogant, those that resist the Holy Spirit, those that resist Yahweh, those that resist Yahshua, the Messiah who gave his life. Those who resist will not fare well. Thankfully, Nebuchadnezzar was spared. Shaul, the Apostle Paul, was spared. But he had to be knocked down first. Nebuchadnezzar had to be knocked down. And Scripture talks about we should judge ourselves before, you know, we are judged. And I think clearly we need to think about what we've, where we've been, where we plan to be, and, you know, all this time in between, every day, every week, every month, every year, we need to kind of keep, well, I shouldn't say kind of, we need to keep Yahweh's kingdom in mind, his righteousness, what he would have for us. We need to remember the Passover. We need to remember Yahshua's sacrifice. We need to remember these things. Why are we told to remember them? Because they're bad for us? Because they're wrong? They're right. They're true. They're life. When we obey Yahweh, we're talking about life. He even tells us to remember the Sabbath day. And we're told to honor the marriage vows that we've had, that we've taken. And, of course, you know, when we come into the faith, we've made mistakes. We've done wrong. But when we're immersed into Yahshua's name, all of it is forgiven. We're given a clean slate, and we're to honor our Heavenly Father, and we're to do what He tells us to do, and we're to turn away from the wrongs, and when we find that we've made mistakes, we need to correct those, and we need to move forward. We need to move forward in spirit and truth. We need to move forward with that cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. It's the Spirit that we are to have lead us. And, of course, that Spirit has to be in line with Yahweh's Word. And if we get an inkling about something else and it's not in line with Yahweh's Word, then we're evidently dealing with a different spirit, and we don't want to deal with that. We want to avoid evil, wickedness, bad thoughts, wrong ways, bad speech, bad movies, bad radio. We really need to be focused on Yahweh through His Son. And by doing so, and by humbling ourselves, we will honor the mightiest one who has ever lived, who will ever live, the one who has lived forever, Yahweh. And we will also honor his son by doing so. So may we humble ourselves, may we honor those that we need to honor, and do the things that are pleasing to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh.